Welcome back to the 2023-2024 TEDxU podcast.
My name is Aiden.
And my name is Arunya. We're the co-hosts of our podcast, Let's TED Talk About It.
So we're reaching a little bit back into our roots for this episode, back to the hot seat today, just like in episode one with our exec board. But this time, instead of our exec members, we're tackling the team for a special, deep TED Talk debate.
So essentially, we interviewed some lucky TEDxUF members, some really deep questions, and now it's time for Aiden and I to react to them. That seems too nice. Let's go with debate them.
So sit back, grab a snack, and let's TED talk about it. The TEDxUF organization here at the University of Florida is composed of multiple different teams. We've got our PR team, our public relations team, our engagement team, our partnership team, our speaker team, and many more. And today, we wanted to do a little debate with them.
So essentially what we did was we asked one lucky member from each team to answer a deep question. And they weren't just like random questions. They were questions that came from famous TED Talks that could be pretty controversial.
So today, we'll be asking the questions, and you guys will be getting the answers from our very own team members.
And will we debate them?
Hell yeah. We encourage you all to try answering these questions on your own as well. Get those discussions going. Give yourselves and your friends something to TED talk about. So with that,
let's get into it. Hi, my name is Crystal Boudreau, and I am the Partnership Director.
And our question for you is, when are you actually an adult?
You're actually an adult when you purchase your first lottery ticket. It's like the first thing I ran to do when I was 18 because you couldn't do it beforehand.
And what does being an adult mean to you?
Adulting means finally like girl bossing all by yourself, but 18 years old. So I got to like buy a lottery ticket. I can watch all YouTube videos that are not censored. And then I finally can deep dive into conspiracies late at night.
Honestly, I feel like I think about this question a lot, and I turned 18 2 years ago, so I don't really know what that says about me, but like, I feel like, at least for me, I'm Jewish, and so like, for us, we have a bar bat mitzvah, which means by Jewish religion, we're adults at 12. Yeah, I was not an adult at 12.
Yeah.
You know how people like to say, like, you're a different person than you were,
right.
Even like 1-2 years
no,
ago?
Right.
If you put 12-year-old me behind the wheel of a car, that would be two answers. I think for me, when are you actually an adult? I feel like for me, at least, sure, there's like a legal age, but I feel like it's like, and I don't know if I'm ever going to reach this, mm-hmm. but like you reach a certain level of like emotional maturity,
right?
You know,
right.
Where you sort of feel like, I don't know, like I was just talking to Alex, our media director, about this in the car today. Like I asked her because she's graduating in May. I was like, do you feel mentally like ready?
Right.
She was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be, which like when I think about graduating, I like want to vomit.
Crazy.
Like I
no.
get sick to my stomach. But like for me, being an adult means I feel like, at least for me, like I'm someone that struggles with self-confidence a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of like towing that line between arrogance,
right.
but like also like self like reassurance
right.
almost.
Yeah.
I feel like finding that line and being confident in myself, as cliche as that sounds, like getting there and doing what I love.
Right.
In a mature manner, cooperating with others.
No, I get that so much. Yeah. No, but like I get that. I feel like there isn't really, I feel like the set age depends on the person. Because, like, honestly, I feel like, at 18 years old, like, I feel like that is quite young because part of you is still a teenager and, like, there still is so much to learn. Like, most people are only just getting into college, and I feel like in college, like, that's when you also learn a lot more, too, like, about yourself.
It's so stressful, too.
It
like,
is.
People, like, talk a lot about, I feel like, about the academic adjustment when coming to college.
Right.
But I feel like, for me, the social adjustment was really major, too.
Yeah.
Like, coming from out of state and leaving all my friends behind
at
home.
Right, yeah.
It's something I feel like here at UF, too, is super common.
Exactly. Especially because, like, sure, like, maybe getting a lottery ticket might make you, like, within yourself like feel like, oh, like you grew up and everything like that, but like how can you handle maybe different emotional things that come into your life, like whether somebody needs to leave or like new people coming in, like how do you handle like the relationships around you? I feel like that's what really makes you an adult or not an adult.
I feel like also too, winning money would be
it would be yeah
nice. So the next question we asked was to our social media team.
And we asked, can stereotypes ever be good? And how do you measure whether a stereotype is good or bad?
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm on the social media team. I think stereotypes
can't be good because they're very limiting on people and they harm a lot of people and make people think that they can't do things even though they would like to do it. I think a stereotype is overall bad if it hurts at least probably one person, because it's not doing any good if it's hurting some people in the process. So
I definitely agree with Hannah on the part where if stereotypes, like if it hurts a person or if it makes one person feel like inadequate or something, then it's definitely harmful. Because I don't think that people should ever be judged or like brought. I feel like people are so unique and everyone is so special in their own way. And by just trying to fit someone in, like, who's so unique into a mold that like it's supposedly supposed to be their identity, if that hurts them and they don't feel comfortable in that, then it's not really like good to have stereotypes.
No, I know, it's interesting. Yeah. And like you talk about it sort of like from a deeper perspective. I don't know if that's just me reading into the nature of the podcast, but like, have you ever experienced something like that in your life where you've been stereotyped or someone you know has been?
I don't think I've personally gone through something like this, but I know that, let's say there were like friends who maybe, like, I've had some friends who are like really smart people,
right.
And they're just smart, but they like to achieve their own goals and stuff like that. But like people would almost categorize them as like book smart, or like, you know, we all know that stereotype. They're like, oh, they're nerds or something like that, just because they're going and putting a lot of effort.
Hiding under the table. Wearing my glasses, embarrassed. But you know, look, I think it's interesting too. Like, you and Hannah both kind of took the negative lens on stereotypes.
Right.
I'm here to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Stereotype versus cliche. You know, like stereotypes and cliches become stereotypes and cliches
True.
For a reason.
True.
You know, not a lot of the times we think of stereotypes in a negative connotation, which
Right.
is, you know, like certainly valid because a large majority of stereotypes we
Right.
think of as being negative.
Right.
But you also think of things like cliches, like the chivalrous man, like people like holding
Yeah.
doors open
Right.
for you, like
Right.
buying you a box of chocolates, which honestly I think is so cool.
No.
That's subject of discussion for another time. But, you know, I feel like it depends, like, toe the line in terms of how you define it. Some
Yeah.
things can be good, some things can be bad.
Yeah.
Just depends on how you look at it.
Exactly.
So this next question was touching grounds in my home base, because I'm part of the speaker team and I'm part of the podcast team. And so we asked you guys, is it normal to talk to yourself?
Hi, I'm Sanvi. I'm on the speaker team. I think it's always normal, maybe in a professional setting, maybe then it's not.
Hi, my name is Sarah Akil, and I am on the speaker team. I think it's definitely normal to talk to yourself because nobody knows yourself better than you. Speaking or talking to yourself helps boost your confidence, your charisma, and your speaking skills. And honestly, it prepares you to be able to have any type of conversation at any moment with anyone you meet in the world. Being normal means being able to just exist as yourself confidently, being able to walk the street without having to question who you are as a person.
Honestly, that's kind of the answer I expected a speaker coach to have. I feel like it'd be really odd to be a speaker coach and not sit there talking to yourself. You know, speaker is in the name.
Right.
So I definitely agree. I talk to myself on a daily basis. Like,
I 100% agree.
Complete
with that
disclaimer,
too.
I'm not crazy. You know, I feel like a crazy person would
right,
say that,
right.
But you know, it's like I'm also just very talkative in general.
Right, right.
So it's like if I don't have anyone to talk to, I'll engage with myself.
Yeah, right.
That's just how like I think through problems,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And Sanvi said too, she mentioned something I really thought was interesting, like maybe not in a professional sense. Setting, I'd actually disagree. Maybe have a mental conversation with yourself,
right,
but maybe
right.
don't, you know, voice it out
right.
loud so much. So
yeah, especially like I can imagine you being in a meeting and just like starting to talk to yourself when someone's presenting.
Oh, I've done it before.
No.
Shamelessly, I've done it before. I've whispered, but I haven't been loud.
I love that. And then sort of going off of what Sarah was saying, we asked her like an additional question: what does being normal mean? And she talked about how like normal means like being able to exist as yourself confidently. And I feel like, honestly, talking to yourself really helps with that, because if you're able to like talk to yourself, like me personally, if I talk to myself, I'm kind of hyping myself up.
No,
I'm
for
like,
real.
Okay, you can do this. Okay, what's the
you
next thing
this.
You need to do? It's like
my
one
mantra
step at a time.
On my computer screen right now is literally like grind now, celebrate later. You got this.
Right. So kind of like it went at least. Yeah. So when I talk to myself, I kind of like hype myself up, and it makes me feel more confident, honestly, because I feel like, yeah,
okay.
I know what I'm doing. Like I'm on my grind.
Girl bossing
like,
it like Crystal
right,
said.
Right. So yeah, I definitely would agree that talking to a certain extent to yourself, like, yeah, it's pretty normal.
Seems like you've reached adulthood.
Okay, and moving on, we asked the engagement team, can we choose to fall out of love?
We're preparing for Valentine's Day 3 months in advance. So this is for our late listeners here.
Hi, my name is Alexis Forgotch and I'm from the engagement team. Love is like an action, right? So I feel like you can do your best to kind of distance yourself and you can try not to love someone. But also love is one of those things, it's like an emotion, it's out of your control. If it was that easy, like people would be, you know, they'd be choosing who they loved all the time. But I feel like love means to me just like support and being there for one another. I know there's like a bunch of different love languages, but for me personally, I love just like being around people who I love, and I love having that sort of system. And like whenever I fall down, I know there's someone to pick me back up at the end of the day. And that's what matters to me. And I think that's what love is.
So now it's time to talk about the subject that's on everyone's mind. Love!
I think what Lexi said was honestly really spot on, especially with having a support system.
Yeah.
I feel like being at university, being so far away from home can be really hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Love can be platonic, love can be romantic, but like I found that like in my hardest times, the relationships I crave are the ones with my best friends.
Exactly. Or like, exactly. Or the ones that like, that really, like, my family, for me personally, I miss my family so much because I'm also out of state like you are.
Where are you from?
So, Delaware.
Oh, my God. That's right. Delaware. Oh, my God.
So like, I definitely do, like, in your, like you were saying, like, in our hardest times, I feel like that's when we want to lean on the people who we do love. And so, if you find, I find myself reaching out to my family more for their support because, like, I love them so much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly, for sure. And I think another point Lexi made that I really liked, too, is how she said love is an action. I think, I think in some ways it's, and this could be a whole other podcast in and of itself, like, the idea of whether or not love is a choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like we've all been in situations where we've loved people where we're like, oh my God, I'd rather be doing anything than caring about or loving this person. But then at the same time, it's like, however difficult it is, you can always make a choice to remove yourself from a type of situation like that.
And
whenever it gets tumultuous.
Right.
You know, Runa, we had talked a lot on the last question too about like the importance of family and maintaining those relationships and love with the people you care about, which is a perfect segue to our question for the PR team.
We asked the PR team, should you care what your parents think and to what extent you should care?
Hey, I'm Zoe and I'm on the PR team. Yes, you should care what your parents think. Just in my personal case, I'm really close with my parents. I love them. They support me in many different ways. So I would say I should care what they think. But if other people have a different dynamic with their parents, then that's their decision. So I wouldn't say it's like a hard and fast rule across the board. I think that I should definitely care a lot to a big extent about what they think because they're always just so supportive of me in so many different ways. And so I want to make sure that I give that same respect and love back to them.
I 100% agree with Zoe on this one that like, yes, especially like she said that she was really close to her parents. I also know that I personally am as well. If you have parents who are really supportive and mm-hmm. who are there for you and who cared for you and like provided, you know, a home for you and
depends
food for you and everything.
Circumstances.
Definitely. I feel like it really does depend, but if you do have that environment, you know, you should care because it's not only just like they aren't just there to be like your safety blanket and your support, but it's also kind of like a way to express gratitude, I feel like.
Of course, but I think it's important too to recognize that like a lot of the things that you mentioned, like food and a house.
True.
And there's a lot that, you know, like at
not
least me as
has.
A teenager, there's a lot of emotional support that I feel like even having those things that sometimes when parents don't have that sort of relationship with their kids, that can be really like, it can be really traumatizing, like honestly, and it can really affect the way that, you know, you kind of like reciprocate that relationship, which is I think something that you, Zoe, touched on too, about how it's really circumstantially dependent, and I feel like it's different for every person, and you know, like learning not to make assumptions about like the state of people's affairs and just being open with people about it.
So we're kind of going full circle here, and in the beginning we kind of, you know, we talked about stereotypes, and I did bring up that really famous stereotype of like nerds
shading everyone.
So I feel like this is a perfect transition into our next question.
This one we tackled with the ops team. What's the smartest age and what does being smart mean?
Hi, I'm Melinda and I'm on the operations team. I think like 7 or 8 year olds. I have a 9-year-old brother and he's pretty smart and cunning. I don't know. They're able to get away with a lot. I think somebody is smart when they can comprehend certain things or especially when they're able to understand other people really well.
I honestly loved Melinda's answer on this, that 7 and 8 year olds are probably like the smartest age, because I feel like when people think smart, a lot of people think of just like knowing a lot of information. But honestly, 7 and 8 year olds, like they have, I feel like a
level of smart that like even adults need to know. Like they kind of like they're smart because they almost know how to enjoy life in a way that
it's
feel
a different
like,
type of smart.
Yeah,
I feel like as you grow up you lose it, which is awfully depressing.
True.
Not subject for this conversation, but it's like I find myself reflecting on how much I miss my childhood a lot, because it was really just like living two separate lives.
True.
From the life I feel like I'm living with or like living right now. She said something too, she's like they get away with a lot as the oldest sibling. That is a sentiment that I can definitely agree with. Again, subject for another time, bitterness of being the oldest, what can you say? But you know, also we talk about this too, like there's different types of being smart.
Mm-hmm.
You got people who are emotionally intelligent, you got your stereotypes, mm-hmm. you're like bookish, like nerds, like I'm a proud bookish nerd, I stand by that, but also street smarts, you know, there's different ways to be intelligent, and I think that that's something that's not really discussed a lot.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if you ever heard the story of like Albert Einstein actually failed out of English and social studies, but he's like one of the world's like most renowned like intelligence bodies in terms of theories of relativity. I'm like, would you call him stupid? No.
Exactly.
But his English teacher was sadly misinformed.
I definitely feel like then being smart is so individual, and I feel like each person defines what being smart means, because you know some people are incredibly like they have like high emotional intelligence like you said,
right.
So they are so smart in that, but other people lack in that skill. But you can't just go and say that other person isn't smart, because they may be really good at like history or something.
For sure. But I think the variety is what makes life interesting.
Yeah,
quite honestly.
For sure.
So I feel like too, one thing we always praise our kiddos for is being creative, which is a great question for our creative team.
Yeah, we asked our final question, do schools kill creativity, and is it inherent in the school system, or does it depend on the leadership of individual schools?
Hi, my name is Turia Mocha. I am creative director of TEDxUF 2023. I think schools can kill creativity in the sense of having really forced deadlines, and just how like at least the American school system is structured. Like I'm engineering, and I feel like that major has a lot of creativity compared to other STEM majors, but a lot of the assignments, like yeah, you have like maybe like a week to do it, where I don't know, for my creative process, like sometimes I'm not feeling like as inspired, and that's like either due to sleep or exams or anything like that. So I feel like yeah, schools can kill creativity in that sense. I think it depends on the leadership of individual schools, because like I know our university is becoming more AI, and I feel like AI is kind of killing creativity. Like it can foster creativity, but a lot of, I know at least from my friends, they'll like input something into AI and be like, oh, I feel like inspired by this, whether it can like kind of help you create your idea, but a lot of times it changes like your ideas. But I know I have one really great professor this semester who really knows how to use like the Socratic method, where it's like you ask questions and like depending on the responses is like how the conversation shifts every day in the class. It's not really planned, whereas I feel like other professors who say they use the Socratic method are just basically asking questions and like only will continue the conversation if they get the response they want. So I feel like that can kill creativity, because it's not like being more creative in the sense like, oh, this is how they're thinking about it, let me shift into like the correct way of thinking. It's just like slowly getting your way of thinking like into the whole like spectrum of the professor I'm talking about is my signals and systems class, and like she related like what a system is to like random things that were on UF's campus, and I feel like she asked us to give examples. I know that's when I was feeling creative today, so I feel like it really depends on individuals.
I so resonated with what Turia said about like suffering through the boatload of like monotonous assignments,
yeah,
where it's like you're like, it's like I feel like there are times where I'll like really like a class with just busy work,
right,
instead of like actually like taxing work, because then I can like plop myself down in front of the TV and turn on like Vampire Diaries,
yeah,
or like Great British Baking Show and just like play it in the background,
exactly,
like while I work, versus,
yeah,
like biochem where I'm like sitting in silence listening to like instrumental music,
right,
literally,
right,
my entire Apple Music replay, because I don't have Spotify Premium, because I know it's terrible. It's Molly's looking at me right now. It's horrible. Okay, in my defense, I've been using Spotify since fifth grade, and then my parents got the Apple Music plan, and I was like, ads versus no ads, but I don't have Spotify Wrapped, and I'm suffering, so don't come for me for it. But literally, the entire, like, one of my, like, top playlists was just instrumental music. Like, I feel like it depends.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes it just gets to you. You're like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know,
that's
it's
true.
Boring.
That's true. It's almost like, I feel like there are two sides to everyone, really, because I feel like a lot of people think that, oh, I'm not artistically talented or I'm not creative, but there are so many different ways to express creativity. So like, I personally like podcasting, for me, that's creativity, and I really enjoy that so much. For other people, maybe it's drawing. For other people, it's like pottery. I don't know, but like I feel like it's so different for everyone. But
my dad had a potter shop when he was younger. He actually taught me pottery.
Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm so jealous. That is so
anyway,
cool.
Anyway, keep going.
No, but yeah, everyone is so talented and have so many different creative talents and different ways, but I feel like because like you said, there's so much that we have to do at school, we kind of lose touch with that, especially as we get older. It's just like once you start the grind of life, it's like
it becomes more goal oriented than
exactly,
process oriented,
exactly.
Which I feel like is just very depressing.
Exactly. So then maybe that's something for all of us to take away from here, is that maybe we should really make the time to implement some just creative time for ourselves. Because maybe that's going to, you know, be really good. Develop us as people better.
Mental health-wise, too, it'll definitely pay off in the long run.
For
and
sure.
I think that's like, a great takeaway, too, from this podcast is, like, inspire yourselves to think, like, deeply about these questions.
Exactly.
And it's, like, we go around asking everybody on campus these, but, like, maybe it's the philosophy major in me.
Exactly.
But like, I actually debate this stuff with myself on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Like, what it means to be smart, what it means
exactly.
to be creative, and, like, what it means to love profoundly.
Right,
these
right.
questions that are really important, like,
right.
for understanding our lives. And, you know, look, you guys, like, the debate doesn't have to end here.
True.
Like, you can bring it into our Instagram, into our comment section on Spotify, and we're
yeah.
going to post something on Instagram, too, for this.
For sure. So make sure you check out our Instagram. It's at TEDxUF. And make sure that you debate us, too, you know? Like, we'd love to hear your guys' opinions. This is obviously just me and Aiden's take on this and of the TEDxUF teams. But if you guys have something else to say, definitely put it in the comments. And would love to debate back with you guys.
For a Gainesville-wide
no, right.
TEDx talk. So with that, closes out our episode for this week. And if you enjoyed it, let us know, leave a review, because we're all about
ideas
worth
spreading.
See you on the next episode of
Let's TED Talk About It.